So by the great grace of our Lord, our Father in heaven, and Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, we are here and we have each one testimonies about God's faithfulness. I wanted to talk a little bit, if God wills, about love. Not as a subject only, but as something that is from God, that is not even something to strive that we could do it on our own, but something to yield, or actually someone to yield to. So if God allows humility to come into our lives, then there's room for love. Another way of saying it, if I'm full of myself, my plans, my greatness, my goal, what I have achieved, there's not much room for the love of God, because in its nature, love, of course, is God himself, but love is very simple, but very wise, very deep, very high, very wide, as we know. But love is something that only God can teach. And God says, the meek he will teach, and the humble will hear. That's in the Psalms. Meek he will teach, and the humble will hear. So even if I had all the perfect, okay, 1 Corinthians 13, even if I had a perfect understanding, none of us have. I certainly am least of those that could have. But if we had a perfect understanding of Bible prophecy plan and eternal plans and all the what God does in different dispensations of time and perfect plan and how salvation works and the nature of God and what theologians write in their volumes, we had perfect understanding of that. But without love, it would be nothing. Why would it be nothing? Is it wisdom great? Yeah, because I would have knowledge, but I wouldn't understand my knowledge. I wouldn't understand it. I would not understand because it would not be personal. So we need knowledge of life, knowledge of love, knowledge of God. But that knowledge is not for knowledge. It is empowered by love. Love and life are like two sides of the same coin. Life, when we are filled with this life, the life looks for an outlet, and that outlet is love. If we spend time with God, and he speaks to us and opens to us something about himself, we automatically begin to pray or serve or look for ways to minister. Yes, yes, that's how it works. That's how it should work. Yes, that's very, very beautiful. So I want to turn to some scriptures. There's so many scriptures, but I start from the first part of the Bible. And when God shows us something in our heart about his nature or anything, we always need to tie it up with scriptures. Scriptures, because that way we can contain and remember and release what he is showing to us. Because what he's showing to us is in the scripture. Okay, Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. And there is a very interesting statement. I personally love the authorized version, but I need to add one thing about it. concerning it. Deuteronomy 33 verse 3. And when Moses is beginning to speak, how God appeared and gave his law, he says, yes, this translation says, he loved the people, but actually it says, he loves peoples. The Lord loves peoples. That is the Hebrew, amim. He loves peoples. And so, when he gave the wonderful Torah teaching to the people of Israel, who received it, God says, he loves peoples. He already had peoples in view, that when people are brought out of darkness, and the Torah points to Yeshua, this is meant to bless peoples. Now, I do admit that there's a little bit of a mystery here included, that some of the, particularly the northern tribes are in the picture here, and God knew that the smaller tribes that will go to the world and disperse, they will become peoples in the history, and they are hidden, and then in the end times, God will bring them back. But it also can mean, John 3:16, God so loved the world. So God loves Israel, and he loves peoples. He loves peoples. Abraham was chosen so that he would become a blessing. Genesis 2 verse 3. Now let's look Deuteronomy, this wonderful book that Yeshua quoted many times, chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Here God says, Shema Yisrael. Or he says, yeah, Shema Israel, hear Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord, Yud-Heh, Wav-Heh, our God, our Elohim, is Adon, is one Lord. The word Adonai is Yud-Heh, Wav-Heh, really the covenant name of God, God of Israel, and also the Creator God is the same. Our God, Eloheinu, that's a plural word, Eloheinu, not meaning many gods, but it's in the plural, is Adon Ehad, one Lord, Yud-Heh, Wav-Heh, Ehad. Ehad is a compound unity, compound one. Yahid is absolute one of a kind. There's only one phone like this, no other phone, no other anything like this. This is the only one like that. This is the absolute one, Yahid. That's used about the Messiah, and that's the Hebrew understanding. But Ehad is a compound one. When the prophet Ezekiel put his hands together, he said in a verb, Hid ahadati, I made one. Man and a woman were basar had, one flesh, evening and a morning, erev and boker, evening and a morning were one day. When they had the cluster of grapes, when the two spies came back, you remember Yehoshua and Caleb, they had this bundle of grapes on their shoulder, and it was called Eshkol Ehad, one Eshkol, with this compound meaning. So here Israel, that the Lord, our God, it's also in plural, but the Lord our God is one, like a compound one. This is exactly the meaning that Yohanan the Apostle says, God is love. God is one. Not many gods, but God is one. But there's the mystery of the compound one. So, let me say, the ancient Israelites in one branch of Hebrew thinking, this comes from long ago. they understood it this way. There is the Lord, there's the word of the Lord, and there's the spirit of the Lord. And these three are one. Now, today's learned man say, oh, don't confuse that with Trinity. I'm sorry. It is it. That's it. The Lord, the word of the Lord, and the spirit of the Lord. We don't have to say Trinity. We can say triunity. But that is the unity of God. So if God was just like absolute one, the word Yahid, the absolute one of a kind from eternity past, eternity future, where would be room for this revelation of love? Would not be. So God is also a mystery. Now I'm going to leave this alone. I just say that there is a one stream of Jewish understanding that is looking for this mystery, and they know this oneness of God. There is a mystery about it, but they are so careful that lest we mix this with this, and so there's a little bit of a difficulty with this thing. But this is a mystery. This is a great mystery. And then when we hear that God is one, this is what the Apostle Paul, who used to be Rabbi Shaul, that's what he's saying in Galatians. He's saying, did you receive the Spirit by working of the law, works of the law, by trying to perform it, or by hearing a faith? You received the Spirit by hearing. That is the Shema. That's exactly the Shema, that here the Lord our God is one. In his eternal counsels back in eternity where he had this plan. And then this same appeared when the Messiah, actually it was already in incarnation, but at the River Jordan, when Messiah is there and he is immersed in water and he comes up, there's the Messiah, the Word, and then the dove, the Spirit, comes upon him like a dove. It's not literal dove, but like a dove. And then that's actually in a feminine verb. And then the Father speaks. God speaks from heaven. This is my beloved Son. When we read this, we are hearing of faith. Then when a Messiah does his work, we see the Father is always with me. And the Holy Spirit's anointing is upon him. And that's the Word. That's the Lord, the word of the Lord, and the spirit of the Lord. But now, it's the Word who became flesh. And when we hear the Bible from beginning till the end, including both covenants, Sinaitic covenant, and there are other covenants too, and then the new covenant, we see that the Lord is one. And what is the outcome of this hearing? Now, I have to go back to Hebrew. Okay, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, plural words for Elohim, is one Lord, the compound one. And thou shalt love. It doesn't read in Hebrew, you must love, but thou shalt love. You will love. The outcome is that you will love. So you will be filled with love when we see that the Lord our God is one. He is one, and that one is only possible when he is love. Okay, I don't know. Does it make sense? This is how it's in Hebrew. And we receive the Spirit by hearing. So when we hear, love comes to us. Life comes to us. The Holy Spirit comes to us. And by hearing the message for the first time, we get born again. People may pray a specific prayer. With me, it didn't happen with a specific prayer. I heard, and it became alive. But it cannot, you know, praying a prayer in our helplessness is very good to ask God to forgive us our sins. Okay, very good. Then, in the book of Revelation, there was one chapter 3. In the beginning of chapter 3, there's a congregation which is called Sardis. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sardis or Sardis, either way. And unto the messenger of the church assembly in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God. Well, it's seven spirits, but it's one spirit also. The Holy Spirit, that thou hast a name that thou livest and we're dead. In Aramaic it comes, you have a name that you're living and we're dead. It's different than that you have a name that you live and are dead. I don't want to make a point of disagreement with Greek-based text. I'm just saying this is my world, so I'm living in the Hebrew Aramaic world. And in this text, it is that you have a name that you live and you were dead. In other words, you're like Lazarus that was dead, but now you made alive. You are famous that you are alive. This is exactly like the Reformation church was. Like, considered alive and wonderful and good, because compared to the where they came from, the dead dogma and taking money to pay for your sins, and it was a lot better. And they were true believers in it. But now, he says, be watchful and strengthen the things that which remain. You can read it in the Hebraic, in the Aramaic text, be watchful and strengthen the remnant. Ah, I love that. Because there's always a remnant. There can be a mass of people, a lot of problems, a lot of confusions, and people are mixed up. But God always has a remnant. In the time of Israel's history, there was always a remnant. In a church, there's a core. There's a remnant that God knows. And he says, strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the remnant. You can read it that way too. Strengthen the remnant. I think in many ways, this is our work. To call people into this love of God, who don't know this love, redeeming love of God, but also, especially, to strengthen the remnant, to strengthen the weak, to strengthen the people that think, I cannot make it. I messed it up too much. I'm too much sinful. And, yeah, that's what the devil does. He tells a person, you can compromise. You can do this and that. Then the person feels weak and they compromise. And then the devil tells them, you're too bad. God doesn't want you anymore. No hope. We have a message for these kind of people. Maybe we feel sometimes like that. But we have a message. Yes, we have God that has the strength. And how do we get the strength? And strengthen the things that remain, also the remnant, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. This is specially fitting to the Reformation Church because they had a good message. They had a message that Yeshua is our righteousness. This is the message. But if somebody explained it differently, or they had a different way to understand baptism or communion, you know, they would even kill them. Yes, they would even kill them, and the people that they killed were called Anabaptists. You know how many of them were killed? I don't even know the full number. It's unbelievable. So what does the Lord say to how to strengthen? Remember, therefore, how you have received, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and return. Repent is return. Return as you are. Return. So remember how you have received. Return to receiving how you have heard. Return to hearing. Return to receiving. Return to hearing. You know, how do plants grow? They keep receiving from the ground. There is no other way. There's no other method. You need nothing else. The ground, the water, the sunshine, but that's the way they always grow. There's nothing new about it. And then there's the great fruit. But I want to go back to scriptures. This is simply wonderful. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. This is simply wonderful. The Lord has appeared from far away unto me. Actually, in Hebrew, it's rahok is the word. From far away to me. And said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. But why he appears from far away? See the connection? Far away, everlasting love. These two things are far away. Our mind is in the natural. And in the natural mind, we don't reach to this. It comes from far away. But in Yeshua, the Messiah, and also when God appeared to Abraham, and also when God appeared to Moshe, when God appeared to anybody, he comes near. And this message comes from eternity past, from far away. I am the eternal life, everlasting life. I have loved you. Okay. Nation, peoples, yes, the world, yes. But it's not just in the world. It is specific. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. If you ever want to get deep into this idea, how love of God draws us, there's one perfect book about that. The whole book is dedicated to how he draws us when we're weak, sinners, unable to do anything. Book of Hosea. Book of Hosea is how the harlot was drawn, it is not my message now, but drawn by God until she became a saint, very holy, and the love overcame everything. People that have a problem with this, they should remember Hosea. Wilkerson said once, if you want a revival, you should preach about the love of God 3 weeks straight. Every message, every evening, every day, preach about the love of God if you want to see a revival. Now, this man had an experience about it. When he went to the gangsters, these people that had no connection to the love of God, and he met this one gangster called Nicky, and Nicky said to him, you talk to me one more time about the love of God, I'm going to cut you to 1,000 pieces. And Wilkerson said, that's okay. but every piece would love you. And Nikki went like, and that sentence haunted him when he went to bed. It haunted him. What is this love? I only know knives and fists and gangs and I never heard the word love in my family. Nobody ever told me anything. What is this? That was the power that Nikki changed his knife to the Bible and wept like a baby. Wilkerson knew what he was saying. Okay, I don't just want to talk on theoretical level. The bottom line of this is when Yeshua paid for the sins of the world. Now love has a way to be released. Sin was like the dam. In Holland, they live under the sea level. It's a huge dam. But the water cannot come because there's that dam. Amsterdam. Dam, they say in English. Amsterdam. Water cannot come to Holland because they built this big wall and the water is there and the people are drinking latte down here. Yeah, right. But when the love was held back, God's love was held back. But when Yeshua said it is finished and it is delivered, meaning back to the Father, that one word, meshalam, means paid and delivered. I finished the work and I delivered it back to the Father. Now there's no reason or cause why God's unconditional love would have to be kept back. Anyone can come. This love cannot be misused, but it's open for anyone that comes right way. But that's the bottom line. But I want to talk about it a little bit, how individual this love is. This is a big message. We won't get too far, but we'll get a little bit into it. Did you know that there was a book written, 5 love languages? Who ever saw that book? Five love languages. No, it was written by somebody from Chicago, not C.S. Lewis. Any one of you ever read it? No, I was stupid because I sold it and I sold it and I sold it and I sold it here in the bookstore and I never bought a copy. And now I regret. The book is gone and the shop is closed. And I'm gone. But I had time to look into it a little bit, what it says. And it shows that different people are made very, very, very differently. And we appreciate love different ways. Okay, we spoke more in a general corporate level earlier. Now I'm going to talk on individual level. A little bit more on individual level. Because we are made uniquely, individually, just like you look at nature, how God has made nature, birds, animals. It's a huge universe. Every week I learn a little bit more about nature, and I learn a lot more from the Bible, but I learn from the nature. We are fearfully and wonderfully made because we're God's handiwork of love. In Greek language it would work even this way, that we're like his poem, like a part of a poem. We are his handiwork. So we're individually made. So the language of love had it like, there's 5 love languages. How people understand love, appreciate love. Some people who are action orientated. If you do an action of love to them, you help them, you give them something that is tangible, practical, and it's like, this is wonderful. Another person appreciates who are socially oriented is you give them time, you give them ear, you listen. They don't think it's a waste of time. You come into their world. Another person is like a gift, like it's a little bit like, for ladies it would be like a romantic gift, like a flower or something. Let me tell you a little story here. I had a friend who lived near Beersheba, and he lived all his life here in Israel. He died a couple of years ago. But he once bought flowers to his wife's birthday. That was in the beginning, I assume, earlier part of the marriage. Beautiful flowers. And his wife said to him, "What are you buying to me these for? I can't use them. There's nothing practical about them." She was a kind of a person that was practical, and her love language wasn't beautiful red roses. Okay, now my wife is very different. When I got married and she had a birthday and I had very little money, you know what I bought to her? I went and bought the most beautiful tube of toothpaste. I wrapped it up and gave it to her for a birthday gift. Seriously, I'm not kidding. She said, "What? This was my birthday? Like no flowers?" Okay, this is a typical example that this toothpaste would have been an amazing gift for my friend living near Beersheba. His wife. She would have, okay, this is practical good. It's not waste. But my wife, oh no. The more colors, she likes white lilies too. So her love language was that. Another person is like extra kindness, service. They need something. I think I mentioned now four. I can't remember exactly. But now I'm going to go to biblical imagery about this. In the plan of creation, there's kind of like four giftings. There's many more gifts than four. But the giftings come like under four categories, if we put it that way. You remember the four living creatures that always hang around the throne. And what they do is they observe God. They watch God, and then they proclaim all the time, day and night, they don't stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Now, this is not the same idea as in India or in some countries. People used to crank up prayers and they have machines that say prayers. This is not the idea, like we even learn prayers by heart and we say them because that's the thing to say. This is not the way they do. They watch God, and they know that on earth, there's a terrible situation in the earth. Most of the people are not thankful. Most of the people do not praise the Creator God, the Redeemer God, but they speak stupid things. They teach terrible things, because darkness of the atmosphere, which is the prince of this world, or God of this world, Ephesians 2:2, or 1 Corinthians has the same word. Sorry, 2 Corinthians, same word. God of this world is darkening the imagination of the people and the understanding. So these living creatures represent the four extremities how God has created everything. And one of them is like a lion. It doesn't mean that this creature is like a lion, but like a lion. So when you see this creature, you think about a lion. Second one is like an ox or calf, that kind of an animal. The third one is face of a man, like the likeness of man, like face of a man. And the fourth one is like a flying eagle. Literally, it's not eagle, but like a flying eagle. Okay, so they watch how the earth is acting. They know what's on the earth. And they see that God is doing everything night and day to help people, to serve people, to try to give people a message through the prophets, what is good for them. They're not listening and they're breaking his laws. And God is doing everything right, and his creatures are not thankful at all, except a few. And they see this goodness of God, and they know the devil who fell, the fallen angel, and they see this broken heart of God, or sadness in one way, but the goodness and the kindness of God. So when we see anything about God, how God moves things, whatever he does, they always say, holy, holy, holy. In three different ways, they say this whole word, holy. Kadosh. Day and night, that the Lord is Kadosh. They observe and they confess that God is holy. God's goodness is very holy. In other words, he's doing everything right. It's even more than right. He's doing everything in a holy way, like a priest, you know. He's doing everything in a holy way. So this first creature, lion, this lion is like a governmental type of an animal. Governmental. He has governmental understanding. And this creature understands how God governs everything in the detail. And when this creature says holy, it's different than the other one says holy. It has a different understanding. That's why God needs all these different creatures. And when this one says holy, 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 God understands what he means. There's a love language, an appreciation language from this creature to God. You see what I mean? Second one is calf. Calf-like, or an ox. Ox calf. Ox creature. This is service animal. Ox serves. By the way, I once studied about this in a dentist office, and there were beautiful articles about how oxes, you do not drive an ox from behind. It's not the best way to do it anyway. It's not the best way. With a whip and to drive him forward like a horse, you should walk with the ox, next to the ox, because ox works the best by being next to the master. Ox loves this. And this is the idea that ox loves to serve and pull weights and do service. So when the ox-like or the calf-like animal, living creature, says holy, that's from standpoint of understanding how God serves the world. God governs, but God serves the world day and night. God serves the world day and night. And this creature understands it. And God needs, this creature needs, I'm saying it like in a human language. In one way, God has no needs. But he has chosen to have this kind of need, if I say it. I know the language breaks down here, I know. Then the third one has a face of a man. That's like the condescending, understanding, coming down to our level. The eagle is the ascending life, like the ascending life, like the Gospel of John. Man is like the Gospel of Luke. Calf is like or the ox is like the book of Luke. Mark, where it's the servant who just wants to serve and to do the master's will. And then the ascending eagle that rises spiritual heights, there's the deeper revelation, understanding the peak picture. Okay, now I'm going to, before I conclude, say a couple of practical things about this. You have a love language that is yours. You have a love language with God. And when you say, holy, 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 you say, thank you. I really love that. That ministers to God's heart. Then you have a certain way you understand ministry. You have a certain way that some people minister to you more than other people. We receive from everyone and we love everyone, but there are some that minister to us more. It's not really that they minister to us more, but we are made to receive from them in a deeper way because that suits us, that fits us. That's how God puts it together. So we have our own love language, how it works with us. And that's needed in our relationship to God and to our relationship to one another. But we want to be very inclusive, that we accept everyone. We not only love people that are like us, very important. I want to give you an example, and I think we've spoken long enough. So I want to give you an example about one of these gifts, which is a great gift in the body of the Messiah. I do believe in miracle gifts. I believe God can do miracles. Somebody could have gift of faith even to raise the dead. It's possible. It doesn't happen very often. But I give you another kind of an example. Once I was in Florida, in the city of small town city called Fort Pierce. And I went to, in my travel, to just to minister there a little bit. I felt God is leading me. And I went there. And there was a ministry that was bringing food to Haiti, to the island called Haiti. And they had like a house for the body of the Lord to be, the members of the ministry to be there. And they welcomed me to this house and they had spiritual work for me to do. So I did that. I ministered in the word and all that. So there was one man who came to me. Now he has already died. But this is such a unique thing. I never forget it. This man came to me. And he was so excited, full of joy. And he said, I have a spiritual gift from the Lord. When you hear that, you wonder, what is he going to say next? You're almost scared because a lot of people claim to have high gifts. He said, my gift is service. Okay. He said, so whatever you need, I'll take you by car, anywhere, if you need a post office, you need to buy something. I'm here to serve. That's my gift. And I'm really glad to be able to help you. Okay, I've had many people serve me, or maybe sometime I've served someone in my life, sure. But many people serve me. But when he ministered, he did it like that was his chief enjoyment, just to serve, to help, to love. So when he did the serving, like he took me to the post office. I had to send a card to my wife who was far away. So when he did this ministry, the way he did it, it was like Yeshua would have been with you in the car. It was like Yeshua's presence. Holy Spirit was in it. And I understood that these gifts of the Lord that he's given to the body, every gift needs the Holy Spirit, even if I sweep the floor. Whatever it is. It's not just preaching, not just that. So we have different love languages. Let me leave a challenge to you at the end of this ministry. The greatest ministry ever happened was Yeshua the Messiah, taking away the sins of the world, rising from the dead, and giving his Holy Spirit in us so that we can be now in eternal life. But, okay, as he was with people, he knew what each one needed. Now, I give this challenge first to myself. I need to pray, God, let me be just so filled with you that I can learn what is the love language of someone. I do not know necessarily, but teach me how to love so that the flow that goes from me would go the right way. It's very important. I do not know that way. I do not know that way. And I can make a mistake. Let me share one mistake and then I'll close. I was in a bookshop. One more story. Okay. An elderly man came from China. So I approached him and I asked him directly, can I talk with you about spiritual things? Do you believe there's God? He was in a shock. He said, what? You have never met me. I have never talked to you. We have never spent time together. And you are asking me what I think about God. This is deeply personal. How can you do it that way? Listen to me. I did not know his language, love language, communication, understanding. I made a mistake. So what do I do? Do I press in and say, well, now you must listen, this is important? No. I say, I was just ignorant how you do in your country. I didn't know. So that is okay, right? Is it okay? Okay. So I said, I won't ask you any questions. Don't worry. But can I tell you about my own experience? Would that be okay? Oh, yes. That's okay. That's fine. There was another door. Not that door, but another door. This is what I need. I need to know what is people's love language. To some person might be that I give them an apple. To another person it might be a smile and a question. To another person it might be completely different. Let's close here because we cannot finish this topic by talking. I didn't even get to the main verses. Dear Father, in the name of Yeshua, you are love. You are love. And you are the creator, and you are the redeemer, and you are so wise in your love. You're so holy, you're so righteous, you're so great. So please accept our word of thanks. We thank you with all of our hearts that you think about us night and day. We don't understand your ways, how you refine us, how you work in our lives. But you gave us the great gift, your own Son, and you solved all our problems. But we are still walking into this great, great realization. So thank you that the work is finished, but now we can get to learn and know you. Help us with our fellow travelers on this earth, those that don't know you, to show them the right face of you, something about you that's not about ourselves, that we would not put ourselves first. No, no, we've done it. We've done it all the time sometimes. But Lord, we need your help. Thank you. Thank you. And then thank you for the rich forgiveness. This is the big thing, that you provided the perfect price that we can know you and live in you because of this. In the name of Yeshua, amen.